Hello. How are you all?
Ah, good.
Okay, I'm good too. I just have a sore throat, but I'll manage. I really wanted to be here and share what we did with you because it was such a blessing. I just really want to thank Tom for giving me this opportunity because I realized when I was reflecting back that actually organizing it to share it with you taught me a lot of stuff as well, which I would probably have missed out if I hadn't thought of it that way. So I'm just going to start by telling you about the prophetic words we received before we went to Sierra Leone. Yeah, there was, it was from 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 20, if you want to open that with me. Or not, that's fine. Okay, it says that, so David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim actually means the Lord who breaks out. So there was a breaker anointing that was released on our team. It was actually Jim Paul at the deeper meeting, if you were there, when he prayed for us. This is what he said. So we really took hold of that when we went to Sierra Leone because we wanted to see breakthrough. I personally went there with a heart to see amputees getting healed, their arms and legs growing. The second word that we received was when we went to Kent in Tunbridge. There's a church there called the River Center. And a pastor named Sapreza Sitole, who's in charge of the pastors in Africa, works under Heidi Baker. He gave us this prophetic word about us carrying an epidemic of joy. Amen. Or the sickness of gladi-gladi, as they say in Creole. So, which we really took hold of that as well. And we must say we saw both those things when we were in Sierra Leone. We saw people really being infected by the joy that we had. So it was really good. Okay, let's see. That's the two prophetic words we had. We did have other words, which I don't remember right now. Anyway, I'll just go through what we did through the week we were there. We reached there on Wednesday night on the 19th. Thursday we had a day off, so we decided we'll go to the museum. But we realized that things don't always work that way in Africa. So all we managed to do was grab a lunch and we couldn't go to the museum or anything. On Friday, we went to pray in the local area just outside our village. We were divided into teams. I think it was four teams. And the team I went with, we prayed and prophesied over people. There were not a lot of sick people there, so we didn't see many healings, but we did receive a lot of, we gave a lot of prophetic words to people. We prayed for Muslims. One thing that really touched me was how the people were just so acceptant of the name of Jesus, and they were so ready to be prayed for. They were just hungry for prayer. They would just come to you and ask you to pray for them. So, which was such a blessing to me because that doesn't always happen here. No. On Saturday, we went to a village, which was 2 hours away, but it took us nearly 4 hours to get to reach there. We prayed and prophesied for people there as well. I prayed for one lady who had arthritis, and then I said to her, "I see you jumping for joy." And she actually, you know, she received that word and she got up and she couldn't stand up herself. She had to ask one of her grandchildren to help her up. She stood up and she sat on the bench to actually, she was so receiving of the word I had given her. I didn't see her heal then, but I'm sure something happened. So that was good. On Sunday, we again divided into four teams. We went to four different churches. The church I went to was a small shack. The worship was awesome. It was really good to see women leading worship there. Really powerful. And there were lizards there. Okay, not going to say anything about that. Anyway, and we took a piece of cloth there, a river, with us. So at the end of it, the people came and stood on the river of God, and we prayed for them. A lot of people had pain in their stomach, and when we prayed for them, the pain left. So that was really good. On Monday I was ill, so I didn't go out. But on Tuesday, we had a Holy Spirit revival in the hotel. It was awesome. We just, every morning, we would ask everybody how everybody was doing. And just to share stories, because we always used to divide in teams when we went. And while I was sharing, I felt both my arms just charged up with electricity. And they were so heavy with anointing. It was really hard for me to lift them up. And at first, I thought it's because I was ill on Monday, and I thought maybe it's just me feeling weak. But actually, it was really the presence, the anointing of God on my hands. And we started praying for each other, and it broke out. The staff came, they heard us shouting, calling, and when the staff came, I was there shouting, "Come receive the love of Jesus." And it was really good, because all of them came, they were singing songs in Creole, and it just broke out. There were four people in the hotel who were Muslims, and they accepted Jesus. There were four people. Two of them were Muslims who received the gift of tongues. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit when we prayed for them. And we had two healings, one in the leg, which was through a word of knowledge. He was a Muslim guy. One of my team members, Lena, had a word of knowledge for him and said, "Do you have pain in your leg?" And he said, "Yes." And she prayed for him, and the pain was gone, and he converted. He came to Christ. He accepted Jesus, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, prayed in tongues. One lady had a pain here in the hips, and that was totally gone. So Tuesday was a really, really good day. Another thing that I noticed, I think it was either Monday or Tuesday morning, 6:30 a.m., we had a witch doctor with a procession go around the hotel. And when we were going to the village to pray for the people, we also had a witch doctor with her procession go past our bus. So we did meet a lot of opposition. But praise God, revival broke out through all of that. It was awesome. That afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, we went to a place which is like a beggar's church, because it's just open area, dirty stuff everywhere, it's really dirty, but you get all these people living on the streets, you get commercial sex workers, and we had a church meeting with them. And after that, we prayed for them, and we fed them. There were approximately 500 people, maybe more, I'm not sure. It was just jam-packed. And one man we prayed for, who was walking with crutches, and he began to walk without them, and he was really, really excited. But he took up his crutches again. I'm not sure why. There was a significant amount of healing in his body, so that was very encouraging. On Wednesday, we prophesied for the Iris team, and Andrew's son, Andrew is the leader there. His son, whose name is Samuel, actually went into a trance, like he had a vision, which I'm not going to share with you. If you want to know, you can ask me later. But that was such a blessing, because you could just see that God is working through what we are doing, and it was very encouraging. Thursday, we went to a prison. Half the team went to a hospital, and half the team went to a prison. And I went to the prison, and we prayed for the prisoners there. In Sierra Leone, if you're accused, they just jail you. You're put into prison, and then you just wait until you're proven innocent. So they just put you in jail. So all of them were suspects. And some of them had done nothing wrong. And I prophesied over one man, and because I really felt that he was a man of integrity. And when I prophesied over him, later on, one of my team members went to pray for him, and he was like, "I haven't done anything wrong. I have a wife, I have children, I go to church every Sunday, I haven't done anything wrong, they've just put me here." So I don't know if he was telling the truth, but I feel he was, because I did receive that word of knowledge for him. So it was just really, really sad to see them there. The chief officer at the station asked for prayer as well. He was a Muslim, his name was Muhammad Job. We went up to his office, we sat with him, he invited us, like he said, "You can come every day." So I think we've paved a good way for the Irish team to work there, because they can go there just every day and pray for the people. On Friday, we met the first lady. Yeah, I've got pictures of her. Oh, I think Paul, can you show the picture of the first lady? Yeah. I'll go through the pictures later. Yeah, that's the first lady in the yellow. She is such a woman of God. It was such a blessing to meet her. We prayed over her, and then we asked her what she would like prayer for her country. And she didn't say, pray for the development of my country. She didn't say, pray for poverty to go. She just said, pray for revival. And, you know, that just made us think, if our government wants revival, that just changes everything. So she was such a blessing. And we presented her a book by John G. Lake. And it was really nice to meet her. And being go to the president's house felt really special, because I never thought I'm going to meet a president's wife before. So, yeah. Saturday, we went to the beach. You want to look at the beach? It was really beautiful. The beach was absolutely amazing. That's okay. I haven't done it very well, I know. Okay. Yeah. So Saturday we went to the beach, and then in the evening we went for a meal at this really nice restaurant, and the president's press secretary also came. And so we met some influential people there. That's the beach. There's another picture of the beach as well. Okay. Yeah. Tom had it up as well in the notices. Okay. Sunday was the last day there. We didn't divide this time. We went to the central church. So all the churches met in one place. And I prayed for a man whose name was David, whose foot was like this. And his legs started really shivering and trembling. And I thought, yeah, he's going to get healed. He didn't. His foot was still the same. And my reason for sharing this is because I could see the Holy Spirit in him. He was shouting God's praises. He was sweating like anything, and I could just see that God is working in his heart. So although his body didn't get healed, his foot didn't get healed, I just know that something changed. Something shifted in the Spirit, so I wasn't discouraged. And another thing that was happening while I was praying for David was, there was a lady on the floor, and she was just rolling on the floor, and all her clothes were coming off, and she was like possessed by a demon. She was shouting and really, really under torment. And I've seen that happen before in Pakistan, and I normally get very, very scared and very, very fearful, and I just want to leave. But this time I stood my ground. I just kept on praying for David, and I really overcame my fear. And one night in the hotel as well, I was really fearful, because obviously we had the opposition from the enemy, you know. There was spiritual warfare going on. We had witch doctors circling our hotel and stuff. So I was really fearful, because I'm very sensitive to these things. And me and my roommate, both of us were really fearful. We commanded fear to go, and it left us. And, you know, that was just one of my personal victories. We did face a lot of challenges. I have six written here. It was very, very hot. Very hot. There was no water in my room. The shower didn't work. Well, for 2 days, we didn't have water because there was some problem in the supply. So, but the hotel had some reserve water. We were able to wash our hands, so it was okay. And the food, the evening meals were awesome because they were prepared by the Irish team. The lunch and breakfast was just okay. I realized one thing, that when you're hot and bothered, it's very, very, very hard to focus on God. But we conquered that, you know. We did manage to stay sensitive to the Spirit of God, and that was something I learned as well. Seeing the poverty, Freetown is such, it's the capital, so basically it should have all the wealth, really. But it's jam-packed, it's crowded, and there's just poverty everywhere. So, and like, I come from a third world country, I come from Pakistan, and I was thinking, Pakistan's like heaven compared to this, you know? But yeah, just seeing the people, the affliction there, you can either become really hard-hearted and think, oh, that's Africa, this is the way it is, because that's how some of us are thinking. And then there's this bit where you just really want to help everyone you see and you can't. So that was one of the challenges we faced. The lack of planning, because nothing went according to plan. There was plan A, B, C, D, and we followed plan Z. So yeah, that really annoyed some of our team members, but we were fine. Like, we got used to it. There was obviously the opposition from the enemy, like I've said before. And then most of us had stomach bugs. So even me, I'm from Pakistan, even I had a stomach bug. Yeah, but we managed, you know. We managed quite well. We did work very hard, and we saw God move. We saw people getting healed. And Jim Paul had also said that we would have a hugging ministry. And when we hugged the people, we could really see that they felt loved, you know. Because I think the street children, they've never really heard anyone say, I love you. And I had, like, so many people come up and say to me, do you love me? And I was like, yeah, I do love you. And we hugged them, and they sat on our laps, and they just really had, you know, the children really, they enjoyed. Especially Kerry was, like, such a mother figure. She had all, Kerry and another woman from the Journey, her name is Denise. They had all the children gathered around them. They were, like, the mother figures there. So it was really, really nice. What I personally learned was to just keep on keeping on, because like I've said, I went there to see arms growing and limbs growing and like extraordinary miracles that we don't see happening every day, and I didn't see a lot of it. I did see one man, I know, I heard of one man who's, I think it was cataracts, whose cataracts was healed and he was able to read. He was quite old, so that was probably one of the real real miracle, like hardcore miracle. But we saw a lot of people whose pain left. But basically what I learned was to keep on keeping on. If I pray for 8 people, 9 people, the 10th might get healed. If I give up, I might never see it happen. So yeah, I just had to really encourage myself, because once or twice I really felt disappointed, because we did pray for one man whose leg was like this. You know, he had a deformed leg, and we commanded the leg to grow, but it didn't. It will. Amen. Amen. And another thing I learned was to stay sensitive to God in all the difficult situations. And I think I did quite well. And the third thing that is so, so amazing is to laugh at the enemy, you know. I think I've said this before, I overcame my fear. I was just really laughing at the enemy there. When after I commanded the fear to leave, I just laughed and laughed, you know. I was like, you're such a loser, you're such a liar, you know. And so that's very encouraging. That's my personal thing. I really learned to laugh at the enemy. And, you know, if you can laugh at the enemy, then that's it. He's just gone. Okay. Shall I just go through the pictures? Yeah? It's the beach. It was very warm, yeah. It's nice. No, that's fine. It's okay. We had hot. Yeah, probably later, like 35 maybe. I don't know. More than that. Okay, that's in one of the restaurants owned by a South African couple. We had our meal there. We went out to eat. So that was just an evening out. That's when we went to the beggars' church. The girl there with the glasses, she's 18 years old. She doesn't look like it. And she was raped during the war. She had marks on her cheek and on her thighs, and she showed me it. And her parents were killed in the war. So I could really, she was so hungry for the word of God. We were giving out food, and I said, do you want to eat? And she said, no, I don't want food, just give me a Bible. And I've never seen anyone so hungry for the Bible before. So I was really touched, and I hugged her, and I was almost in tears. And she told me what happened with her. But she was like, I'm tired of this life, I just want Jesus, you know. And She became a very good friend of mine. The guy next to her, his name is Asun. He's a Christian, and he just comes to the meetings. So I don't know much about him. Another view of the beach. We had a barbecue on the beach. They're really dark. Sorry, the pictures are really dark. That's the prisoners. They came out. They came out into this open space, and we sang a few songs with them and prayed for them. This is in the church. I made a few friends. The people are so friendly. They just called me and said, "We want to be your friend." And so it was really nice. The girl just on the right-hand side is a pastor's daughter, and she's doing an airline course. So, and the other two were leading worship. And they're only 20 years old. That's outside the president's house, just outside the president's house. Group photo. That's with the first lady. That's Mohammed Job, who is the chief officer at Congo Cross Station. He was very welcoming. We were prophesying over the first lady. Yeah. Is that it? Oh, there's another one. Oh, okay. Okay, come on, I don't want to make you people jealous. This is when we went to the village to pray. And actually, one of our team members, his name is Candice, or we call her Candy. She went to in one house, and there was a newborn baby there, half an hour old. And she was called Candy after her. And you prayed for her, so that was really nice. Yeah? Okay, thank you.